The Sportscast, September 23rd, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. On Periscope, we are at The Sportscast 1. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It'll help us out in the podcast charts with Apple, because they are the number one Apple podcast directory in the world. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. You can view the show at thesportscast1 on Twitter. And if you're in Periscope, if you live in Periscope, please follow us. Put a notification. We got some exciting guests. Last night we had Marvin Constant. We got Evan Smith. Chris Samuels. We had a huge all-star cast. Even Funny Man came on the Sportscast. He was dying to come on. Anyways, this episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app. New update 3.3. Get it. This week at the Sportscast is SEC week, the biggest conference in college football, maybe in the world. And this year we'll have a delight. First time ever, we're going to see every SEC team only facing SEC teams. And within soccer terms, it's called the group of death. This is how big this conference is, both East and West. And a man that lives in Tuscaloosa himself, Stephen Smith, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Doing well, Santiago. Happy to be back, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty pumped. It feels like the Olympics this week. It feels like real college football is coming. Yes, ACC played these past couple weeks and some other minor conferences, but this is it, Stephen. It's coming.
It's how we've gone from an all-season where you wonder, would we have football? Would football happen? There was a lot of paranoia in the air with the COVID situation. And to go from that to the SEC and the foresight of Commissioner Greg Sankey deciding, let's not jump the gun, let's not cancel the season, let's push it back a little bit, see what everybody else does, then make our play. And for us to have football and everybody staying calm, staying together, this is really exciting right now.
Yes, I do have to give credit to Greg Sankey. Definitely feel very comfortable pushing the date to September 26. Conferences like the Big Ten and Pac-12 just scrapped it way to the spring. Now they're kind of fumbling the ball and try to get a earlier start, perhaps in November. Obviously, things are a little bit fragmented. When it comes to scheduling, we don't know if there'll be a playoffs. Steve?
It's going to be a – now, that part's going to be interesting because Bill Hancock, the executive director for the college football playoff, he talked about if there is a season, a college football season, the CFP committee will have a playoff. They will get together and make sure that playoff happens. Now, it won't be the same without the Pac-12 because you look like Oregon and Utah, if those teams are going bad, they mean a lot. I mean, of course, they're fumbling the ball a little bit. They're trying to get their season started on October 24th, if I'm not mistaken. And as much as I see Justin Bieber play, Ohio State play, among other teams in the Big Ten, the executive director, Bill Hancock, did mention if football season is a go, which it looks like, it's going as we've seen it go, they're trying to have a playoff.
The playoffs is definitely a thing that we got to see. We could see a potential aspect where we just see conference championship games, and that's it.
Could be, and that would be sort of a weird dynamic, like I said, just due to this year, you almost have to put an asterisk by whomever is the winner. You know, did they really win it because they didn't get a chance to play, everybody? You had to play just your conference. Now, once again, the SEC, one of the toughest conferences, if not the toughest conference in college football.
Oh, hands down.
You have a little bit more extra to say about that. But it is just sort of different here seeing how this year – doesn't really count. Because what's crazy is, Santiago, now that people are talking about this, players that play this year have the chance to come back next year because this year does not affect the eligibility. It doesn't go against the eligibility. It doesn't hit that side of the spectrum. So we could see seniors, four-year, fifth-year seniors, still come back for another year because this year doesn't count.
The ramifications could be significant. It could help some players out, maybe hurt some players. But Stephen Smith, are you ready to go over the Alabama roster?
Oh, man, are you kidding me? I mean, I was tickled pink when Saban put this out.
Let's do it. Let's begin with the quarterbacks, Mac Jones versus Bryce Young. Steven, who wins that battle?
Mac Jones has won the starting quarterback job, according to Coach Saban. On Monday, put out the depth chart. Mac Jones is the starter, and it's this is something that people should not be surprised about. I know there are still a couple of people shocked going, well, no way, Bryce Young comes in. Five-star, Elite 11 quarterback in California, you know, U.S. Army, All-America Bowl, offensive MVP, just larger than life. There's no way that Bryce Young did not win this, but Mac Jones named the starter, and going into his fourth year as the guy in the system, everybody in this program trusts this young man. They have confidence in him. He has confidence in himself. There have been so many times in Mac's career where he's been overlooked. He's been undersold. I remember talking to him, you know, both of his parents. They both expressed to me about how he grew up 2 years behind everyone else on the physical growth curve. So he had to grow into his body. On top of that, he didn't start in high school as a quarterback until his junior year. I remember he came to Alabama in 2017. As the quarterback behind Tua Tagovailoa. Tua had all the hype and all of the appraisal behind his name. And, you know, Tua deserved that just due to what he did throughout his career with the Crimson Tide. And so now Mac in the same situation again where he's in here, but Bryce Young bringing more of the excitement, bringing more of the anticipation. But Mac has always been just the ultimate workhorse, and that has put him in a situation where he's got a chance to take this team and win a national championship with this team. A lot of people go back to, well, Steven, he had the two interceptions against Auburn, and that happened. But
it's Auburn.
Yes, he had the two. Yeah, absolutely.
And
yes,
the Iron Bowl.
He had the two turnovers. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was saying, yes, he had the two turnovers against Auburn, but that was one of the best defensive fronts in college football, if not the best defensive front. And what does Nick Saban always say? It's okay, what's your resolve? Do you sit there and you let that ruin your life? Or do you get back up, keep slinging a hot pigskin, and put us in position to win the football game? And that's what Mac Jones did. He got up, he took some shots, he had four touchdown passes, 335 passing yards, and if not for a missed field goal at the end by Joseph Lovett, this game would have went into overtime, and Alabama could have had an opportunity to win that football game. So the young man is an ultimate competitor, and he has shown, hey, I've got what it takes to lead this team to the big with the national championship.
Mac Jones it is. Mac Attack, we'll see what happens. Let's go to wide receivers, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, Nick Williams, Kenny Bell, William Stricklands, and Danny Woodson. Steven, what can you tell me about this group?
I mean, I'm saying this right now. I am really excited about this wide receiver group. And we know what Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle can do. I mean, we know both these two guys can do. They have huge resumes. Devontae Smith, for starters, he started his career as, you know, Mr. Clutch Man. Two game-winning touchdown catches as a freshman. One of them came against Mississippi State in the regular season off the arm of Jalen Hurts. The other one, the more notable one, came the national championship game against Georgia off the arm of Tua Tagovailoa on 2nd and 26. So he started his career as Mr. Clutch, but he grew to Mr. Leading Man. Last year, you know, Smitty led the team in receiving yards, led the team in touchdown catches, led the team in yards per catch, yards per game. He had three, you know, 100-yard games, including two 200-yard performances. So we know Smitty's resume. Jalen Waddle's resume, he's just Mr. Explosive, Mr. Lightning in a bottle. He works extremely well in space, and what's crazy is, the last 2 years, he's kind of been more so of a specialty player. Now, he's going to be an every down receiver, Steve Sarkisian is going to get him the ball more naturally. So now defenders have got to be aware of him on every given play. And that's going to be exciting. But the number three guy to watch for is John Metchie, Calvin Ridley 2.0, Calvin Ridley's Canadian twin, as John Metchie hails from Brampton, Canada, at 6 feet, 195 pounds. He gets the star as the receiver at the bottom of the formation. So you have Smitty at X, Waddle in the slot, and Metchie at Z at the bottom. He's got the hands. He's got the route running concepts. He's got great speed. Fierce, fierce competitor. He and Mac Jones spent a lot of time together over the summer working on things. I'm excited for Metchie. And then you also have, you know, guys like Slade Bolden, Javon Baker, the true freshman from Georgia, and Xavier Williams, who will get on the field as well. But the trio of Smitty, Jalen Waddle, and John Metchie, this is going to be fun.
Let's look at the running backs. Najee Harris, Brent Callaway, and Nick Tucker. How's the running back unit looking for this year?
Now, Najee Harris worked his tail off. Najee Harris worked his tail off all summer, whether it was with a former Auburn standout, Brad Lester, or Derek Blaylock, who had some time there in the NFL playing pro ball. Najee Harris has done everything that these two young men have asked him to do, whether it's speed training, strength training, cardio, agility, med work, flipping massive tires, whatever Najee Harris has been asked to do, you know, he has done that. He's improved his speed tremendously. And I believe we saw it Santiago last season against LSU during the middle part of the year where he fully locked in. He kind of understood, okay, if I lock in or when I lock in, I can be one of the most complete backs, if not the most complete running back in college football. Had a stellar season last year, first 1,000-yard year, first 1,200-yard year with 1,224 yards and 13 touchdowns. So he's back. That's the full, complete guy, and a guy that has his sights set on, you know, winning the Heisman Trophy. Behind him, Brian Robinson Jr., the pride of Tuscaloosa, he's looking for a massive year himself. Just like Najee's trying to get, you know, a big draft stock, Brian Robinson trying to get a huge draft stock. He has gotten his speed down. He looks swole, chiseled up, ready to play, be that downhill back. And, you know, behind Brian Robinson, you got Trey Sanders, of whom I like to call the electric wild card. Steve Sarkisian said, if this young man, explosive, you can't keep him off the field, you can't turn away from him, look away from him. He runs hard between the tackles. He can bounce plays outside. He can catch the ball at the backfield. This young man is a triple threat. And last year would have been his year to do some things, if not for a foot injury in August camp. So you got the three-headed monster in Harris, Robinson, and Trey Sanders. But then you got three freshmen in Jace McClellan, Roydell Williams, and Kyle Edwards. They look to find their way in this rotation on special teams, but also see if they can steal some carries in there. So this running back room, it's deep, it's nasty, it's ready to go.
Tell us about Brian Robinson Jr. What will he do this season?
What can he do this season? I think he'll be able to get a lot of carries here away from Najee. He and Najee Harris will be the 1-2 punch. I look for Brian Robinson to have. If Najee hits over 1,000 yards, I'm looking for Brian Robinson to at least be in that 800 yards to 1,000 yard range, at least 800 yards rushing, because he is perfectly capable of doing that. Once again, a north-south, one-cut, downhill back. My main thing for him is he doesn't have to be Najee, just be himself. Lower the shoulder, run guys over, get yards, pound those linebackers, pound the defensive linemen, make guys in the defensive backfield think twice when they try to tackle you. Just be himself. Be that physical bruiser downhill back.
How about Trey Sanders?
For Trey Sanders, I want him to be the wild card. Like I mentioned, him bringing something different, a different wrinkle, whether it's a juke move here, a catch out the backfield here, you know, a spin move there. Just provide a different wrinkle to make defensive coordinators go, I have to focus on him too. So for him, you know, not playing last year, this is his opportunity to say, yes, Najee can do this. Yes, Brian Robinson can do this. So let me bring you over to my hood. Look what I can do over here. And create that extra fear in the mind of a defensive coordinator.
The tight ends, Steven, there's a big group of tight ends. Who will be the standout this season?
Standout at tight end, I'm going to throw two out here. I'm going to throw Miller Forrestall out here, and I'm going to throw Carl Tucker, the transfer from North Carolina, out here. Miller Forrestall going into his fourth year, you know, with the team. He had a red shirt, you know, year after getting hurt, you know, a season ago, so he had four touchdown receptions last year. Forrestall will kind of be in that Brad Smelly H-back type of role, to where he'll kind of be that security blanket for Mac Jones at quarterback. He knows how to find the holes in the zone, get open, create that separation, that type of thing. But Carl Tucker, coming over from North Carolina, this was a huge pickup for Alabama. He brings 38 games of experience over, you know, 36 career catches, 549 yards, four touchdowns, coming over from the Tar Heels. Now, he dealt with some injuries. He's fully healthy now. And not only can he catch the football, whether it's on the inner line or stretched out wide, but he's a very, very good blocker. Strong power hands, Nick Saban describes the hand strength there of Carl Tucker. So Miller Forrestall, Carl Tucker, two guys to watch. But Alabama will be rotating four to five tight ends. A couple of the other guys, you've got Cameron Latu in there, Jamil Billingsley in there. He's very athletic. And then Major Tennyson in there as well. So keep your eyes on Forrestall and Carl Tucker. But Alabama's rotating four to five guys.
Will Tucker remind Tide fans of Colin Peak?
Tucker can. Tucker can remind Tide fans of Colin Peak, but I think Tucker's got the athleticism to possibly remind fans of O.J. Howard also.
That's a good sign. That's a very good sign.
He's got the hands, he's got the athletic ability. Now, he's not as big as O.J. Now, O.J. was 6'5", 6'6". Carl Tucker's 6'2", so he doesn't have the size to remind you of O.J., but the potential, the productivity, the hands, there are some similarities there.
Let's go into the defense. Of course, last season was not good for Alabama because a lot of them were injured. Tell us about this defense. Are they going to be stronger than last year?
They're going to be stronger than the last 2 years combined. A lot of depth on this group, a lot of talent. But the big thing here, a lot of hunger. And also, the continuity that Saban kept on the coaching staff. Usually on defense, he'll lose 3 to 4 to 5. It's a massive exodus of coaches on the defensive side of football, typically, especially recently here. This time around, Saban kept the continuity on the coaching staff. He only lost one guy, and that was Brian Baker, to the NFL for the Indianapolis Colts. But Baker's replacement was Freddie Roach. How about that? A guy that played for the Crimson Tide from 2001 to 2005 as a decorative linebacker, and now he's a coach here for Alabama with this defensive line. So the coaching staff hungry as it is. These players, you got a lot of depth on the defensive line. Of course, LeBryan Ray is back at the defensive end. DJ Dale is back as a sophomore at D-tackle. You've got, you know, guys like Justin Boydby and Byron Young, who played last year as freshmen. They got experience. Fidarian Mathis is back. Christian Barmore is back. He's been back to practice this week. He sustained a knee injury prior to the second scrimmage. He's fine. He's back out there working. So you've got some depth and some experience on the D-line, but having Demon Moses back is a big deal. He is back. He is moving well on that knee. He's getting guys lined up. He's teaching the young players. I mean, him together with Christian Harris, having two Louisiana kids in the middle of that defense, very, very special. Both guys are extremely excited to work together. But the joy at the linebacker position, Santiago, is Will Anderson, the five-star true freshman from Hampton, Georgia, by the way, of Dutchtown High School, he gets the start at Jack Rush linebacker. This young man is the real deal. He has nothing to sneeze at. Teammates around him are just stuttering, talking about this guy has it. He came in with the swagger. He came in with the confidence. He came in ready to learn, and he's prepared to go and, you know, this guy is the closest thing to Kim Williams that Alabama has seen in quite some time. And Kimmy Williams, as good as he was, he didn't pop at Alabama until his junior year, 2015. That's where he had the 10.5 sacks and the tackles for loss and the quarterback hurries, putting up those big numbers. William Anderson has come in, grabbing that conversation, grabbing that attention, grabbing that, hey, I'm going to be the guy here to affect the quarterback to rush the passer. So looking forward to seeing what Will Anderson does in the secondary. Patrick Surtain II is back. Josh Job will be the other corner. You've got two safeties and Daniel Wright and Jordan Battle, whom Nick Saban's excited about. In the star role in the nickel package, therein lies another true freshman, and Malachi Moore from Hewitt-Trussfield High School here in Alabama. He was kind of overlooked coming in, but he's put his head down. He has earned that starting job. And in the dime package, you've got DeMarco Helms there in the money position back for his sophomore year. So Alabama's got some depth on defense, got a lot of talent in this group, got experience back. The big thing for me is, can the guys in the secondary gel the way they need to and really create those turnovers on the back end?
We covered the offense and the defense. Let's go to the underrated special teams. Steven, has Alabama found their kicker?
They have. Thank goodness. they've got Will Reichert, the sophomore, in here from Hoover, Alabama, from Hoover High School here in Alabama. And Reichert got a very accurate, strong leg of a thing with him. He was hurt last year. Got hurt against Southern Mississippi, and Alabama was trying to rush him back too quickly. That was not the right move. He's finally healthy physically, mentally. I think he's locked in and ready to go. So Will Reichert, the kicker. In terms of the punting aspect, Alabama's got three punters and kind of a battle right now. I mean, you've got Top Herod, who punted last year, did a really nice job, a great job, matter of fact. But then you've got Charlie Scott, the younger brother, a former Alabama punter and All-America punter, J.K. Scott. So Charlie Scott is in here as well. And then you got Sam Johnson, this young man from Oak Mountain High School in the Birmingham area here in Alabama. He's got a big-time leg as well. So you got three punters here battling for the starting spot right now. I know Sam Johnson was the first name on the depth chart. We'll see what happens. But Alabama's got the kicker in Will Riker. Got a little punting battle going on. And, the punt returner and kick returner, Jamin Wallace.
But the question is, can the kicker make those big kicks in those big games?
That will be the big thing. And you see that when it happens on the field. That's the big thing. You can make them in practice. You can make them in scrimmages. But when they matter, can you put the ball through the goalpost consistently? And for Tide fans, that's kind of where the scholarship lies. I mean, if you can make 50-plus yarders, that's more to love. That's icing on the cake. As I say, that's gravy on the mashed potatoes. But your scholarship comes within 40 yards. Can you make them within 40 yards? Can you make them consistently within 40 yards? And then can you make your extra points, when you're called on to come on the field and make those points after touchdown try? So this season will be another episode of, can we have the consistent kicking game in terms of Bama football?
Of course, Nick Saban has had issues with kickers in the past couple of years, missing some important field goals to win some games or tie some games. So hopefully that curse is broken. Maybe with less fans in the stadiums, it could help. Steven, tell us about the coaching staff. Any significant changes, any small details that were added or subtracted?
Well, the only one as far as the on-field coaching staff change was you exchanged defensively Brian Baker, who's now in the NFL, for Freddie Roach. Coach Roach is here now as the defensive line coach. So that was the only on-field change. In terms of off-field, Alabama brought in Charlie Strong earlier in the offseason back in March as a defensive analyst, and Coach Strong has been great, having him in here, helping out with Pete Golden as defensive coordinator, and the rest of the coaches on defense have been fantastic. So having Charlie Strong has been great. Coach Saban has also added a couple of other defensive analysts as well to, help upstairs to make sure that defense is in order. So in terms of on-field coaching changes, the only one was getting Roach in here to coach the defensive line. Off-field coaching changes to tie hire Charlie Strong as a defensive analyst and a couple of other guys to make sure off the scene this defense is ran smoothly.
And there you have it. That is our Alabama roster preview. So far, what was Steven kind of sounds like? He sounds pretty confident with them. From 0 to 10, Steven, how would you rate this roster for this season?
From 0 to 10 right now, I would give it a 9. I would give it a 9.
You could put some decimals in it, like 8.8 if you want.
I'm going to go full 9. My only two concerns right now, once again, is with, number one, with this kicking game, will Reichert be mentally locked in to make, you know, the field goals consistently that he's going to have to make? And then number two, the back end of that defense, the secondary. You got some young players in the secondary. Can everybody in that back group gel together? Now, if they can do that and this kicking game falls into play, this is going to be something fun to watch. But right now, aside from those two things, I'm feeling a strong 9.
Steven is feeling good. 9 is a pretty high score. Let's look at the SEC predictions. Who do you have in the top 3 for the SEC West and the SEC East?
Okay, SEC West top 3 here. Give me Alabama. Auburn 2. Give me Alabama, Auburn 2, LSU 3 for the West. Alabama, Auburn, LSU 3 for the West. For the East, give me Florida, Georgia. Well, give me Florida, Georgia. Let me go South Carolina 3.
Wow, 3. Okay, interesting. That is his top 3 for each part of the SEC East and West. Pretty good predictions. Let's predict the week 1 games in the SEC. Let's start off with Kentucky at Auburn, 12 p.m. Eastern. Who do you got?
I got Auburn in that game. I like Kentucky. I really like what Mark Stoops is doing. I think they found the quarterback, but Kevin Steele's been great on the defensive side of the ball for them. I think Bo Nix can take that next step forward. I like Auburn.
Of course, Kentucky is ranked number 23. Keep that in mind. Auburn is number 8. Number 5, Florida at Ole Miss, noontime.
Lane Kiffin's going to bring some sauce there to the Ole Miss team. He's going to make it interesting, but I like Dan Mullen. I like Florida. I like Kyle Trask, the quarterback. I'll take the Gators.
Mississippi State at LSU, number 6 ranked LSU.
Mercy. That game will be in Baton Rouge. Mike Leach has got some for them boys. KJ Costello at quarterback, he's going to want to let it rip. You got Kylan Hill at running back, so you got some balance there. But going down the Death Valley, even though it's not going to be a lot of fans, still a scary sight there with Mike the Tiger. LSU edges out safe.
Orjon gets his first win after four defending the championship. The Georgia Bulldogs at Arkansas.
There's so much familiarity in this game because Sam Pittman used to coach at Georgia on the offensive line, and Sam Pittman brought over a couple of guys with him on his staff to Arkansas that were once at Georgia. So a lot of familiarity here across the line, but I like Georgia in this matchup. Whomever is the quarterback between Carson Beck or JT Daniels, I believe there's also a third guy in the mix right there. I like Georgia. They got a very strong defense on the roster there. Give me the Dogs.
No upsets yet from Steven. Alabama at Missouri. Sorry.
Alabama at Mizzou. Elijah Drinkwitz will bring some interesting wrinkles, especially offensively. But I think Alabama's prepared. They're set to go. Give me the time.
Tennessee at South Carolina.
All right. Okay. This one. I like South Carolina. I really like South Carolina. Give me the Volunteers on this one. Because I really think Jeremy Pruitt got something up his sleeve. Now, does he have the quarterback? That's the question. We thought it would be Jared Guarantano, not Guarantano, but they got a freshman in Harrison Bailey, true freshman, that Pruitt seems to be high on. The athletic director, Philip Fulmer, seems to like a whole lot. So give me the Volunteers.
Vanderbilt at Texas A&M.
Oh, man, I love you, Coach Mace. I really do. I love you, Coach Mace. But boy, you draw the difficult one because the pressure's on Jimbo Fisher. Aggie fans donate a lot of money to this facility, to this program. They believe they should be on the same level as everybody else. I think this is finally the time for Kellen Mond to take that next step. I'll go Aggies.
Aggies win. There's a comment. South Carolina would not start Hilinski.
They will not start Hilinski. The backup quarterback, they brought in a transfer. I believe they brought in a transfer. So the transfer quarterback will start over Hilinski.
Let's go to the NBA. Boston Celtics versus Miami. Miami's up in the series 2-1. Who you have, Steven?
I like the fight that Boston showed in Game 3. I really like the fight that Tatum and Jaylen Brown showed in Game 3. But I like Miami. I mean, Duncan Robinson's on fire. Jimmy Butler, what a leader he's been. Bam Adebayo's the truth. No one gives Eric Spoelstra enough credit. No one does. I like Miami.
Miami, that's my man. I'm from Miami. I'm going for the Heat, but we'll see what Hayward's all about. Is he the real deal? We'll find out at Game 4. NFL, more Miami. The Dolphins visit Jacksonville, 8:30 p.m. Minshew time. Thursday Night Football. Who you have, Steven?
As much as I look at Minshew and Ryan Fitzpatrick, or Ryan Fitzmagic, or whatever he wants to be called, there is no way Ryan Fitzpatrick can mess this up. I mean, Jacksonville.
You would think.
A dumpster fire. You would think. That Jacksonville is a dumpster fire of a team. There's no way Fitzpatrick should be able to mess this up. So give me the Dolphins by 7. I'm taking Miami by a touchdown.
And Miami by a touchdown. Thank God. We'll see. We'll probably won't see any Tua soon, but you never know with the NFL. Steven, give us your.
Go ahead. I mean, Santiago, the fans are crying for Tua. They're crying for Tua right now.
They are, but I'm not. I'm like, hey, guys, let's just take it easy. December maybe at the earliest.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you. I'm looking at Coach Flores. I'm saying, hey, hold on here. You got maybe in December, but you got to draft an offensive line. You got to draft some more receivers to put with Devontae Parker. You got to put some help here around Tua before you put this young man out there.
Well, there you have it. A lot of SEC talk in every sport we talk about. Steven, give us your closing thoughts over the SEC this season and, of course, Alabama.
I'm excited. The SEC football season is here. I'm excited. I'm jacked up. I'm juiced up. I'm prepared. Hopefully, every team in the SEC can continue with doing the aggressive testing that they have been doing in terms of COVID, that we can get through this season without having to stop or postpone or delay or anything of that sort. So I'm proud of the conference in terms of keeping guys tested and keeping guys as healthy as much as possible. In terms of Alabama, you know, the same thing with that, keeping guys healthy as much as possible and just seeing what Mac Jones can do on the field, what this defense can do on the field, what this kicking game can do, what the coaching staff can do from all facets. Ready to see the product that is the SEC.
And who will we see at the SEC Championship game in December?
All right, SEC Championship game, give me Bama Gators, Bama Florida.
Wow, Florida is a big surprise in the show. A lot of a huge keyword in the show. Ryan Krista, if you're listening, Stephen has Smith and Florida Gators. I kind of too. I mean, if Stephen says so, I'm going to believe him.
As much talent as Georgia has, there are some questions with Georgia. Number one, do they hit on the quarterback? I mean, number one, do they hit there? Because with Jamie Newman, the guy that many people thought would win the Heisman this year, with Newman opting out, that throws a huge monkey wrench to the plan there. And then at wide receiver, you've got, you know, George Pickens and Demetrius Robinson, but you lost Dominic Blaylock, a very explosive receiver, to an ACL. So where does the help come from there? So there's some question marks when you look at Georgia. If they can answer them quickly, they possibly can get in there. But if they don't answer these questions, I like Florida.
Georgia is definitely a huge recruiting ground. But we'll see what happens if it does translate on the field and in standings, and maybe going into the SEC Championship game. Why are we talking so much SEC? Because it's SEC week at the Sportscast. Stephen Smith, what is the best way to reach you to find a good tailgate party before the game on Saturday?
Well, absolutely. They can reach me on Twitter at Coaching M. Smith on Twitter. I can be found at Coaching M. Smith on Twitter. I can also be found on Facebook by the name Stephen M. Smith. So Facebook by the name Stephen M. Smith. The magazine that I work for, the company that I work for, is Touchdown Alabama Magazine. That is Touchdown Alabama Magazine. And that can be found on Twitter at TD Alabama Mag on Twitter. That can be found on Facebook, Touchdown Alabama Magazine. And the site is touchdownalabama.com, touchdownalabama.com. We break down the Crimson Tide from all facets. And Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, we got a show on YouTube in my own words every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 p.m. Central Time. We go in my own words on YouTube as I break down Alabama football from every possible angle.
Probably the best source when it comes to Alabama football is Stephen M. Smith. He's on top of it. And tell us, when will you be your next time you'll be on ESPN?
Well, whenever they decide to call me, Santiago.
I'm sure they're going to call you every week because, I mean, who knows Alabama football news is you.
I mean, you saying that, and I'm saying that, and I'm not disagreeing with anything that's being said right now, but they got to be the ones to pick up the ball.
Of course, Steve was on the Paul Heinbaum show last Thursday. It was, I got alerted. I got a text, hey, watch it, which I actually was not able to because I had a prior meeting that I had to attend to, but watch it on YouTube. He's there. You can reach us at the Sportscast One on Twitter and also Periscope and on the sportscast.net. We have a 24/7 digital radio. You can listen to the past podcast. Things are pre-recorded, but you can listen to it. If you like to listen to the radio style, go on to the sportscast.net and you can listen to our broadcast there. Stephen Smith, you were necessary for SEC week at the Sportscast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, my man. I appreciate you. Appreciate Justin Riley and the great things you guys are doing. And, man, continue to keep that Vegas hairstyle going there, Santiago.
I'm trying to. Tomorrow we have Matt Cadell. He will preview a little bit what's going on with the other SEC teams more in detail. And, of course, the Sportscast is SEC week, once of a lifetime in the age of COVID. But SEC will make us forget about the bad things of COVID this past year. Anyways, Roll Tide.